Senior Focus. Welcome, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for Senior Focus. And a Happy New Year to listeners joining us for the first time in 2021. And it's a really exciting time when we think about all the challenges that are ahead, including the possibility even of another lockdown. There are lots of rumblings about the threat of COVID-19 and the new strain, but today our focus is going to be on the thing that's dear to people's hearts who have been part of the 50-plus community and been very aware of their role as guardians of heritage, of cultural assets, ready to stand up and be counted in trying to make sure that things are preserved and things carry on to the next generation and generations beyond that. So it's a pretty important role, and most of us have this role consciously or otherwise, and we actually do get involved from time to time in things in our local community that are of burning interest. Now, one interest that I've been following on the program since last year is what was happening to books at the National Library. And indeed, when you visit the National Library, you actually find there is hardly any books in the space. When you walk in, it's an impressive space, but it's not really got the feel of a library. So this morning I have with me on the program Michael Pringle, who's been the leading campaigner in the effort to ask the hard questions about why are the books being culled? Where have the books all gone? How many have been sold? And how many can be recovered? And what is the future of the National Library? What are we actually going to have on an ongoing basis as our literary cultural heritage? So those are the big questions. And I have Michael with me now. So welcome to the program, Michael.
Thank you.
And as a researcher, you're someone who prides yourself on getting the information, being accurate. And yep. So I know that what you'll have to tell us will be worthwhile. So going back to last year and the book sale, I guess what I've said on programs, some people may not have heard, so I need to really bring everybody into the picture. The first that we knew anything was happening with the National Library book collection was when the sale was being advertised. And it was at that point where alarm bells were ringing and people started reacting. So perhaps you can fill in the story from there to the book sale and what has happened as a result of the book sale.
Right. Well, the books that the National Library is wanting to dispose of have been organised into tranches, and the National Library has put together Excel lists of those books, which they've put up on their website, and not individuals, but other libraries around New Zealand could make bids for the books that they wanted. So some of those books have gone out to other libraries. Many of them are prison libraries, but a relatively small number, so I understand, of books have actually been taken by other libraries. And that's mostly because libraries around New Zealand have also got huge funding and space constraints. And they also have a different purpose from the National Library, which is a research library and collects and retains books that are needed by people doing serious in-depth research. And that's quite a different mission from a public library, which is there mostly to provide for the recreational needs of readers. And quite a number of the books that did go out were taken by prison libraries, and they'll never be part of the library ecosystem, if you like. They're not part of the interloan system. So those books, many of them have basically left the interloan system and they're no longer available to New Zealand readers, sadly. We just don't know. And of course there's always the chance and high likelihood that the books that are now in other libraries will end up being disposed of because there's just no control over that. Anyway, the remainder of the books, some 50,000, were set aside for a book sale at Trentham, which took place at the beginning of November last year. And they had one day where book dealers were allowed to come in one evening, sort of a prior evening, and purchase as many books as they wished. I think one book dealer went away with 30 boxes of books. He's got stores in Dunedin and Auckland. He took most of them. So many of the best books, if you like, the most interesting, and certainly what a dealer would consider the most saleable, went out then. And then the public were allowed in for the remaining 3 days to take what they wanted. But so far as I understand, only half the books actually sold. There were huge numbers of books still left at the end of the day. I was there as they were wrapping up. And that's because they're not the sorts of books that people might want to have at home on their shelves. Many of them were bibliographies, the sorts of books that belong in a research library. And I strongly believe, as do others, that those books, not all of them, but many of them, are extremely valuable and important for research purposes, and they ought to have remained as part of the reference collection at the National Library. And that's what we saw around us at Trentham, was a huge part of the reference collection, which used to be, as you said in your intro, on the ground floor of the National Library building. You used to walk in there, and there it was in front of you. And it's just been demolished.
Yes, and I guess the big question then is, why do you think this has happened? I mean, you mentioned there is pressure on institutions, funding and storage pressures. And we do know, of course, that the cost of land has shot up considerably in cities.
Yeah.
So this makes the budgeting of caretaking for assets like this really come into sharp focus. And it's not easy to look ahead and see whether this is going to be affordable in the long run. So I guess in the interests of wise financial prudent management, there are real obviously pressures on.
Yeah.
But then that raises a point. Why not consider a long-term strategy to house the material in a location where the land prices are more stable and less likely to create such pressure?
Well, the National Library has done that. Half of this collection was housed in a building called Wairere House in Whanganui. And it was there for quite some years. And indeed, National Library's off-site storage has been all over the place. Some of it was at Mangaroa and in the Hutt Valley. Yes, they, and some of it in Tawa, quite a lot of storage, including newspapers, were there. So, but the National Library considers that Wairere House is no longer fit for purpose. It's leaking. Even some of the Turnbull Library's collections, which are not part of this disposal process, even some of the Turnbull Library collections were at Wairere House, and I gather that they considered it a matter of urgency to move those back to Wellington. So what this current government has done in the last budget, it's set aside some money to build a new storage facility, which is going in just behind the current National Library building. And there's also a possibility of a new storage building, I think it's in Palmerston North, somewhere in the Manawa too, which is going to cost about $5 million. That's not absolutely certain yet, but that's definitely on the cards. So there will be off-site storage in places where land prices are lower. But the National Library has used the storage argument as the reason for proceeding with this disposal, saying that we shouldn't be spending money on storing books that are of low interest and low use, and that they need to free up space for an expanding New Zealand and Pacific collection. Well, that argument doesn't really hold water. because New Zealand and Pacific collections are not growing at an enormous rate. The volume of publishing in New Zealand is still very low and stays about the same. The National Library went through a huge refurbishment, which was reopened in 2012, which gave them storage space, they said themselves, and it's still up on their website until 2030. So that's still 9 years away. So they should be planning now for additional storage requirements, and indeed they are. So the storage argument is really just a red herring. They've got sufficient storage. They're planning for additional storage. So this is essentially, it's an excuse. It's a red herring. We don't need to ditch one collection in order to make room for another one. Mm. That's just not factual.
So what is it then about books that have become an anathema to this library? Is this the question that books are out of fashion and there's different cultural priorities? How do you see it?
Well, I think some in the library are very enraptured by digital and think that it's all going to go digital. Well, that's clearly not the case. I mean, internationally, and you can see from walking into any bookstore, New Zealanders are certainly buying books in great numbers, and the majority of them are actually overseas books. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we should be buying New Zealand and reading about what's happening overseas as well. We do, and we enjoy it. That's great. So there's all sorts of problems with digitising books, and there's certainly advantages, but one of the major problems that's becoming increasingly evident is that digitisation of any materials, whether it's archives or books or whatever it is, requires huge amounts of electronic storage, and that requires energy. And the energy, these are usually in countries like Australia. New Zealand's digitisation is actually housed in Australia. And they're mostly reliant for their energy there on burning coal. And, so this actually has a greenhouse gas impact, which is not counted in New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions, but it's actually something that we are imposing by digitizing so much material here. And the National Library has also said that many of the books are available digitally, and they've come up with a figure of 25%, which means 75% are not. But they came up with that figure simply by taking a portion of the collection and running it through a digital catalogue and coming up with that figure. So it's not an accurate figure, it's a guesstimate. So I don't think that the National Library is thinking that books are on the way out and everything is going to be digitalised. But I think that they consider that digital is a big part of the future. They're very keen on that. I understand that the departments, because really it's the Department of Internal Affairs that's making all these high-level decisions and actually imposing things on the National Library, which they may not necessarily like, including their severe funding constraints. So DIA sees digital as the way forward because that can really reduce their overheads. Why even provide a walk-in library at all with books and archives if people can access them all online? That's really the future that they'd like to be moving towards. And many of us say that's absolutely abhorrent. There's huge value in being able to access the physical materials.
Yeah, and this is very relevant, I think, considering we're a young country. And our history is relatively young.
Yeah.
So many of the stories, for example, of Gallipoli and our fighting forces over there and their experiences and who went and what happened to them, all of that is actually really only been coming out since the Gallipoli exhibition and a number of ceremonies and celebrations have galvanised families to find out more. And also a lot of embargoes that were imposed on official information last 50 years. So it's taken some time to get, for example, the World War II material out. and in the public. And so a lot of our historians have been very busy of late, and they've been very clear that, you know, we have a lot of treasure yet to be found and yet to be shared, and we also rely on being able to match stories with other accounts and other written materials. History is not just one account or one story. It's very much a matter of bringing together a context from a number of writers and a number of stories.
Sure, that's right. Yes, so it's simply a fantasy that everything will be available digitally. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Not for 100 years, say. But I just don't think that's at all realistic. And to be shutting down services with the idea that we can obtain everything digitally is really quite a mistake, because so much still needs to be viewed physically. It's great that, thinking particularly of archives, that people who live at a distance from Wellington can view those online, and they're making them available to people remotely. That's a really good thing, and innovation such as Papers Past, I'm sure many of your listeners will have used that, doing family history research and so on. It's an enormous boon to researchers and all of us. But we still need to keep the physical newspapers, and we still need to keep books. So to be disposing virtually of the entire overseas public collection is really going to be an enormous loss to the research community, as many of those books there are the only copies in New Zealand. And it's also, the National Library has said that if you need a book, you can get it on interloan. Well, it's virtually impossible now. We did a survey of 13 or 14 major libraries around New Zealand, and most of them actually are simply not doing international interloans at all. Or the cost is in the hundreds per book. So if you want to get a book in from an Australian library that our National Library has disposed of, the cost is just prohibitive. And often if you're doing research, you might need to see 10, 20 books with $100 a book. I mean, it's just beyond the means of most people. You really have to be attached to a university and use the services of their library. But why should we have to do that if we actually have paid for and own these books already? And this is being done really without a public discussion. I mean, the National Library ought to have undertaken public consultation right at the outset, as to ask us as a society and a culture, you know, what is it that we value? What is it that we want to pay for? Do we actually want to pay to house a really good and to continue to own a really good reference collection? Because it is really quite an incredible collection. But we were never asked that. We were just told this is going to happen and it's a really cool project. They told us to free up all the space for New Zealand items. Well, that's, you know, that's just pure spin. 600,000 books is an enormous, kilometres and kilometres of shelving. Well, there are not the New Zealand books there waiting to take their place. It's not like there's this deluge of publishing out there which can't find a home in the National Library. It's simply not true.
Indeed. And on my visit in November to the National Library, I went to one of the heritage events where they showed films, and that was very well done. But we went after the eats and discussion to look at a gallery that is new and has been set aside as a space to invite children and schools to bring in their treasures, their objects of cultural significance within their family, within their community, that they would like to tell stories about, and that would all be displayed and shared. And yes, I can see value in that, but I also thought, surely this is stuff that ordinary libraries can be doing. anywhere in New Zealand and should be doing on a regular basis. They should have a gallery space where they can encourage the local storytelling to go on.
Mm. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
And I liked what they were doing, and I could see that maybe it's not a permanent thing. These things will obviously change and different schools will be invited to put their stuff in and so on. And I hope it will be further than just Wellington schools. I hope it will be more naturally going and spreading across the country. But at the same time, I just query whether this is really appropriate for the National Library.
Mm. Well, of course, yes, and you have to be in Wellington to be able to access that as well.
Mm.
I think it's great that the National Library is doing what it can to make its collections accessible. That's absolutely what they should be doing, and to everybody. So not just to academic researchers, but, you know, to children and anyone with an interest in whatever history, you know, should be able to access the National Library's collections, and they ought to be out there showing ways in which the collections can be used, and, you know, that they're able to do that. But unfortunately, they have extremely limited funding, and that's essentially due to the way that the Department of Internal Affairs has changed the way the National Library does its accounting, which has meant they've got less and less, you know, ever smaller proportion of their budget is able actually to go on operational expenses, and so much of it has to be accounted for as overheads and so on. And basically they have to lease their space off DIA. So Professor Don Gilling has done a lot of work on this. His stuff is available online if anyone wants to read it, but it makes for pretty alarming and depressing reading about the way the National Library has been so squeezed. They haven't been able to celebrate Alexander Turnbull's 100th birthday properly, for example. There just wasn't the money to be able to do that. And when the National Librarian, who's just recently retired, when he left, he made a pretty strong statement about how the National Library has become invisible as part of the Department of Internal Affairs. And both he and the Turnbull Librarian both made recommendations to a review which was done of National Library and Archives a few years back, called the Gnarly Review, which recommended that National Library and Archives be made standalone government agencies as they were prior to their merging into DIA under the John Key government, which has just been a disaster for both places. The Chief Archivist should be an Officer of Parliament. The National Librarian should be reporting directly to the Minister. But they're both forced to be underlings of the Department of Internal Affairs and report to them. So
yes, and that's
not good for either organisation.
No, and that department has such a mixed bag of responsibilities covering all kinds of things.
Yes, and they see the National Library as a, you know, cow to be milked, really. And So not a high priority. I don't know why, but that just seems to be the way that they regard the National Library and Archives, and really as expensive nice-to-haves and not as we think they ought to be at the heart of our cultural infrastructure in New Zealand, just as it is in Australia. I mean, you know, the Australian National Library is not, I cannot find another national library around the world which is disposing of an enormous portion of their collections in the way that this National Library is. And also the cut-off date of 2000 is the cut-off date, even though I did find books at Trenton that have been published much more recently, which shouldn't have been there, but they were. And I've heard from people in libraries, national libraries in other countries, they're just absolutely staggered that the National Library would have such a recent cut-off date. Any books prior to 2000 included in this disposal. I mean, that's far too recent. And it's far too broad brush. They haven't had subject experts in to review the collections, and that's what they need to do.
Yes, it's quite
by shelf disposal.
It's quite chilling listening to this, I must say. And I'm also aware that my eyes were opened visiting the National Library in Australia, in Canberra, at the majestic display of fantastic collections.
Yes.
It just was absolutely wonderful. I would recommend anybody planning to go to Australia to visit Canberra, because it's a highly wonderful city to see, not only light rail in operation, but also to see the great cultural institutions, even the Magna Carta out in the open on a huge sculpture wall is so enlightening and so uplifting for people to consider what is the basis of what's led to our democracy. So, yeah, they certainly are paying more than lip service to cultural issues in Australia, and they're doing very well. What we need to do is have a stock take, I agree, and I'm interested to know how Helen Clark's responded, because she was pretty much a warrior and a champion for this kind of issue in the past. So I'm just interested to know.
Well, she's been very supportive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has. She's a member of our group, and she's been very supportive. She's extremely dismayed by this. She was instrumental when the Labor government was elected in 1999. One of the first things they did was to update the National Library legislation with a new act, which specifically provided for the protection of the documentary heritage of the National Library. And there's a clause in that act which says that no document may be removed from the National Library without the express permission of the National Librarian. Well, that was put there in order to protect the collections. It was never envisaged that that would be used to dispose of a very large proportion of the collections. So it's a rather cynical misuse of that clause, in our view. Because, you know, we're just talking about one or two individual documents, I think, was in the minds of the framers of that act, and then it was never intended, I'm sure, to be used to justify, you know, the disposal of an enormous proportion of the library's collections. When in opposition, when the then national government, the one between 96 and 99, was overseeing the disposal of thousands of books from the National Library, Marion Hobbs and Helen Clark spoke out in opposition to that. They were appalled by it in the House. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they were very keen to try and protect the collections, and that's what they thought they were doing with the updated legislation, I think it was passed in 2002. However, since then, yes, obviously it's been used in a way to get the minister's approval to dispose of, yeah, an entire collection of 600,000 books. So that's pretty unfortunate. No one's arguing that the National Library should not focus on New Zealand books, of course, as every national library around the world does. It focuses on, and it's a library of legal deposit, and it must do, try to acquire everything published in New Zealand. That's its mandate. No one has any argument with that at all. But it does historically have this other very large collection, and disposing of a collection you have is quite different from saying that we will have a focus on collecting New Zealand. That's fine. That doesn't mean that you have to dispose of things that are not New Zealand.
Indeed. And on that note, we're going to come back to you later in the year, Michael. We're going to follow this.
Okay.
And yep, we'll have things up on our website as well. So particularly how people can contact the group's website and Facebook page and join the petition. Thank you very much. We've enjoyed hearing from you and getting this update. And I wish it was better news that we were getting somewhere, but hopefully we can arrest the tide.
Great. Well, I'd ask your listeners to go to our website, bookguardiansaotearoa.com, and there you'll find some information about what you can do, including a petition. We'd love people to sign that, which we will present to the Minister of Internal Affairs later this month, we hope.
Thank you, Michael, once again.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you for coming on the program.
Okay. You're
bye.
Welcome. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
You
Together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25pm on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.